In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town where one team stands alone. But now, something's stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfectville.
Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your Miami Dolphins. I am Sam Marcoux, and he is the two-time, yes, two-time Hall of Famer, Mr. Christopher Cullen. Chris, how the hell are you, my friend?
Sam, I'm better than normal. So we have a wrestling pay-per-view tonight, and it's the second one in a row where I don't have work the next day. Thank you, President's Day and MLK's birthday, and bank holidays being a thing. So I got that going for me, which is nice. The AAF is happening. The Orlando Apollos, my Orlando Apollos, who I have completely latched onto, are 2-0. They got a win tonight.
Oh, again. Wow.
Against San Antonio. So they're kicking ass, and the game was fun. Like, it was a really good high-scoring game. Times are good. Times are really good right now in the off season, Sam, and I know you're doing well also.
Yeah, no, so as I should say, we are a part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. You are listening to Welcome to Perfectville. For the first time in probably a couple of months, I'm pretty excited about football, and in particular Miami Dolphins football. I'm not sure how much I can reveal. You know what I'm talking about. We'll get into it here in just a little bit, but there's been a little bit of a malaise here when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. Now, it's not like we haven't had news. Obviously, we have a new head coach. We are getting rid of our franchise quarterback, as we've talked about in previous episodes. We're getting ready for the draft. We've got the combine just around the corner. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. We're going to have the schedule revealed before too long here, I think in April, if not May. There's a lot of good stuff, so maybe that's why I'm a little bit hyped. But the main reason I'm hyped here, Chris, is that...
Yeah.
I'll just say this for all the citizens of Perfectville. If you are at a hotel, or if you're at home, or if you're at a friend's house, and there is a hot tub, just a hot tub, I don't care if it's plugged in or not, preferably if it's plugged in, it helps. Go get in that hot tub. Just
What's
go
that?
Get in that hot tub, because you never know who's going to sit in the hot tub next to you. You never know what type of conversation you're going to strike up. I think most of the world's problems could probably be created and ended with a hot tub meeting of some sort. I won't get into it for too long here, but I think as most people know, I do stand-up comedy, and I'm actually just back from the road. I'm sitting in my house right now, and I just got back from Palm Springs, so Indio to be exact, and I did three shows with Dat Fan, who anybody who follows comedy knows that he was the original winner of Last Comic Standing. Real good guy, had great shows, but that's not the story here. The story is I go down to the hot tub with my girlfriend just to kind of relax before the Saturday night shows here, and there's an old man, and I use that term affectionately, but he's older than me, I'll put it that way. He's an older than me man. And he starts talking to me a little bit. He's like, and he hears me talking about the shows, and he's like, oh, you're in the entertainment business. And I said, I do comedy. And he goes, oh, and you're on tour. I'm like, sort of, kind of. And come to find out, after some poking and prodding, this guy is a singer himself. Not only is he a singer, but he's not doing sports bars and dive bars type singers. This is an international recording artist who has sold many, many records, has made millions of dollars off of his voice. He is a huge name when it comes to music. And he asked me not to use his name here, Chris. You know who it is. I talked to you about it.
Yes.
But the weird thing about this is, as we're talking, I mentioned that we have a podcast called Welcome to Perfectville, and it's about the Miami Dolphins. And he starts kind of laughing, and he goes and gets his phone, and he picks up the phone, and he calls somebody. And I'm thinking, well, this guy's rude. He's probably calling, Patriots fans or something. I'm assuming he's a Patriots fan, because as soon as he finds out I'm loosely associated with the Miami Dolphins with regards to a podcast, he starts laughing. No, that's not the case at all. He actually called a very prominent member of the Miami Dolphins family. I'm talking a name that every Dolph fan would know in a heartbeat, and just hands me the phone and is like, so-and-so wants to talk to you.
What?
So, and I'm just kind of dumbfounded. Again, I'm like naked in the hot tub with this guy. And he hands me his phone, and I'm talking to this guy from the Miami Dolphins that, again, every Dolph fan, every citizen of Perfectville would know who it is if I would reveal his name, which I will not. And I had like a 5 to 10 minute conversation about a bunch of stuff, a lot of fun stuff, things that got me excited about the Miami Dolphins for past, present, and future. But it was weird, Chris, because I told you the story off the air, but about a minute into this conversation with this individual, I immediately turned the story to Cody Parkey. And we start talking about our former kicker, Cody Parkey.
Cody Parkey.
Yeah. So I go, hey, man, Cody Parkey's amazing, right? And he's like, dude, that guy's great. He was great for us when he was on the Browns. He was great for us when he was with us. And he was great for us when he was with the Miami Dolphins or with the Chicago Bears. So this bizarre.
Was he ever not with the Miami Dolphins, honestly? No. I think he's a secret agent, man.
No, that's what I told this person. I said, this guy has more game-winning kicking for other teams for the Miami Dolphins than he does when he was actually with the Miami Dolphins. And we thank Cody Parkey for that. But, yeah, it was a bizarre just experience. So I get off the phone with this person, and I'm talking to the guy in the hot tub, and he just starts name dropping all these other, you know, like sports here. He basically name drops my entire childhood, Chris. Oh, I know this person. I know that person. Oh, I'm doing this with this guy. I'm doing this with that guy. And he's calling and he's texting these people, and they're picking up the phone. They're taking his phone calls.
What?
And I'm just sitting there, like, again, he's like in his swim shorts. I'm in my swim shorts, and I'm just like, what's happening right now? How is this my life? I got to go get ready for a show. And meanwhile, he's just pulling all of these like Hall of Fame, sports Hall of Fame names, musicians, everything, man. He's this guy knows everyone. It was crazy. And I'm sitting over there like, well, do you want to meet Dat Fan, the first winner of Last Comic Standing? I could totally hook you up if you want. Like, that's the only name I could bring to the table at this point. But you know all the individual players that I'm talking about, because I talked to you about it off the air. How crazy is that? Again, always get in the hot tub if you have an opportunity to get into the hot tub.
Well, I once met Seth McKinney and Josh Heupel in a hot tub when I was not bragging, by the way, in a baseball tournament when I was in middle school, I think like 2001. 2002, something like that, in the Rolling Hills Country Club in Pembroke Pines, Florida. They're there for training camp. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. But this, I know the story. And Sam, I got to say, these aren't – let me just preface, I guess, or really drill down what you're saying. So obviously you got to be a little bit secretive of who you're talking about and whom you spoke with.
Right.
But social media is going to be exciting after this, because after our show drops, because everybody's going to be guessing. This isn't the, counter guy that sells hot dogs at the Miami Dolphins stadium. Nope. Like, this is a very big name who just randomly was on a cell phone with you. Like, this guy in the hot tub, by the way, that just knows this person, said, here you go. Yep. Get on the phone. And kudos to you, because, like, I mean, who can just randomly spur of the moment have a conversation, A, with this person who's a very big shot with the team you love and you host a podcast for, which we have done for years, literally.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're on the phone with this guy in a hot tub. Kudos to you for being able to even keep a conversation without being a stuttering asshole. But I mean, I guess that's what you do. You talk on stage, you talk on the microphone, you got it down pat. But good Lord, you're talking to this guy, and these celebrities and these ball players you're talking about, this is big shit. It's not like the third string guy, Jason Capono, for the Miami Heat. Like, these are real stars that have their names in high prominent areas that has connections with this person, and you spoke to him. So, I'm excited about the future as well, because holy shit, man, this is big, and I can't wait to hear everybody talk about it and guess who it could be, because this is going to be fun.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, we spoke about a lot of things, and there might be some fun things to reveal down the road.
Yeah.
That I'm not gonna jinx it right now. I'm gonna knock on some wood.
Knock on wood. Yeah.
Because you never know. You never know. But it was bizarre, man. It was just kind of, like I said, it was just kind of sitting there like, how is this even happening right now? And
well, put it this way, when you texted me last night, Charlotte and I have just, and I know I'm going to get shit on for this, but we just started watching The Shield. Like,
oh, shit.
It's
shit
a
on
great, him. Great show. Great show. I've always wanted to watch it. And finally we get on Hulu. We're like, fuck it, let's start it. And it's fantastic. We've watched the first season, 13 episodes in a night. And you texted me and I literally gasped and paused the show like mid episode 7, maybe. And Charlotte's like, what? My wife is like, what? What would ever come through your phone right now to where you'd pause this show that we are so into binge watching. And then I just started reading down your text. I'm like, Sam's in a hot tub with XXX and he's on the phone with blah, blah, blah. And what the fuck? You got invited to what?
Yep.
Like, it was fucking incredible. Like, you're just like, and here's the funny thing, Sam, you'll appreciate this because we've obviously been close and talking for a long time. You don't ever text me and say, dude,
right.
.. Like, that's not how you ever start a conversation. You're normally like, hey man, so let's talk about the show or let's do this. Like, there's always like a paragraph involved. You're just like, dude, guess what just fucking happened? Like, and I knew that meant business because it was insane. I can't believe what actually happened to you the other night. That's just nuts.
Well, then, like, you know, and this guy, like I said, he's a musician, right? And he's been in the industry a very long time, you know, and again, I'm not going to reveal too much because I think people would start to be able to connect the dots here. But all I know is that I'm on stage later at 10 o'clock and he tells me, and he goes, oh, you got a show tonight. I go, yeah. And he goes, well, look, we're down for like 4 days. We're going on tour again in a couple of days. I'm just going to bring the band and we'll come to your show. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm on stage and I see him walk, cause he wasn't there when the show started. Right. And I'm like, okay, he's not going to show up. And then, I'm sitting on stage and all of a sudden the back of the club just opens up because we're inside of a casino and the back of the club just opens up and you can hear for half a second, you know, the chaos that is a casino environment. And he just walks in and sits down and just enjoys himself the rest of the show. And it was just like, Jesus. Wow, what a weird, weird, bizarre sort of right time, right place moment here.
Well, and normally with anything like that, Sam, like anybody in human history has been through life, somebody will go, oh, yeah, sounds good. Maybe I'll check it out. They never check it out.
No, I don't.
And he did. He checked it out. He came to your show. That's a big fucking deal. This guy sounds like he's a man of his word. I really like him. And I hope to meet him one day. This guy sounds cool as shit.
Yeah. And the thing is, here's the other thing. So I'm performing at the comedy club inside the casino. They also have a special events center. And this is not the musician that I'm talking about in this story. But Snoop Dogg was actually performing at the same time that I'm on stage last night.
I wish you were in a hot tub with Snoop Dogg.
Oh, no. I would have texted it immediately and sent it out and be like, I don't care if I get thrown out of here right now. I'm taking this picture. But Snoop Dogg was there last night as well. So my night was me performing for these stoned people who left the Snoop Dogg concert and for the poor people who couldn't afford Snoop Dogg tickets and then got my tickets on Groupon or wherever they got them from and came and watched my show. But in the middle of all this is a guy that nobody even recognized but is a big name in the music industry that basically, you know, dumbfounded me a couple of hours earlier in the hot tub. And then Snoop Dogg's like next door. I mean, it was just I'm like, okay, this is a weird night. I got to go to bed. It's not going to get any better than this. I'm not gambling. I'm not drinking. I'm going to bed because there's nothing else I can really talk about with regards to my life getting any stranger or better in that moment. So it was.
It sounds like a dream someone would have. Like, honestly, it's not like a normal daily occurrence. Like, which is exactly par for the course. When you texted me, you're just like, dude, like, you're not going to believe. And what did you tell me off air? You said you're glad your girlfriend was there because I wouldn't believe this. Like, I'm not going to believe this. What happened to you? That's how crazy it was.
No, I made her sign an affidavit, like, you know. This actually happened. You know what I mean? Because
the opposite
I don't want
to have an NDA agreement. Like, she has to disclose what happened if Chris asks, because he's not going to believe it.
Yeah. It's an ADA, all disclosure agreement. Like, she has to, like, before she even introduces herself by her name, she's got to tell this story to people.
Chris, it's true. Hi, I'm Sam's girlfriend.
So it was a little bizarre, as I said. So it was fun. And I know that everyone's probably pissed off because we're like, oh, my God, just tell us who. No, all will be revealed down the road. I promise you that one way or another, I will reveal who it is and who I was talking to. But for now, no, I'm going to respect everyone's privacy and you know, hope for the best because I'd like to see some things happen. Speaking of hoping for the best here, Chris, we do have an actual episode where we're going to talk about actual Miami Dolphins news. But before we get into that, I did want to bring up Dolphin Ray, I should say. He's given us like 5-star reviews and a couple of different comments throughout the years on Apple Podcasts. And he gave me another one here based on our last podcast that we had where we were talking about the dumb bad luck of Kyler Murray, who was drafted by the Oakland A's, and if he decides to go to football, which he has now decided he is going to go to football, chances are he's going to go to a bad team like the Miami Dolphins. And you think, what did this poor kid do to get drafted by a shitty team like the Oakland Athletics and possibly a shitty team like the Miami Dolphins. And just made me laugh. Dolphin Ray, kudos to you. He says, my sources tell me Kyler Murray has stated emphatically that if the Dolphins draft him, he will become a dentist and practice in North Korea, which would probably be a better career move than being the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins or a pitcher for the Oakland Athletics. So kudos to you, Dolphin Ray. You got a chuckle out of myself and the two-time Hall of Famer, Mr. Chris Cullen.
Yes, sir. That's good stuff. Yeah. That's the best. I mean, we talked about it last episode, but that's the worst part about being a very good player is that you more than likely are getting drafted by a bad team. Because if you're good, you're getting drafted high, and the teams with high draft picks are not good teams. Unless it's just like this random thing like where Peyton Manning missed one season and the Colts lucked into Andrew Luck.
Right.
You know, things like that. That's definitely the exception, not the rule. But normally you're getting drafted by a pretty mediocre to bad team. However, we've been bad for so long, it's got to change. I mean, the Browns are looking up out of all teams, so hopefully we're next on the block too. So who knows what's going to happen, but good stuff by Dolphin Ray. That is fucking hilarious.
Well, and that is the 2019 draft. Whether we get Kyler Murray or somebody else, we got to hit some home runs. We got to have some booms and no busts when it comes to the 2019 draft. The first draft where Chris Greer is fully in charge and Coach Flo, Brian Flores, is now the head coach. So we'll start to see his vision as regards to player, personnel, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not here to talk about the 2019 NFL draft, Chris. What you and I are here to talk about is not sitting in a hot tub with random people that turn out to maybe change your life on one level or another. We're here to talk about the 2018 NFL draft. So, as you know, Chris, it usually takes about 3 years. That's the rule of thumb as to whether you can judge somebody as a boom or a bust when it comes to being a player in the NFL. You want to give them that three-year period to adjust to the pro game, see how they figure it out, how they assimilate, and then go from there. We're not going to do that. We're actually going to just jump the gun here. We're going to get under that rule of thumb, and we're going to run with a one-year judgment panel here between you and myself. We're calling this the Boomer Bust 2018 review of the Miami Dolphins draft class, and we're just going to go from the first round all the way through the seventh round. We're not going to deal with the undrafted free agents. We're not going to deal with anybody who was not drafted by the Miami Dolphins in 2018. So we're talking about, of course, the Minkah Fitzpatricks of the world, the Mike Gesickis, et cetera, et cetera. And what we're doing here, Chris, as you know, we're going to talk about what they did, how they performed, what our thoughts are on them, and whether they're a boom or a bust. Now, if they are a bust, that does not mean that we want them cut and off this team. It just means that that first season as a rookie, they didn't live up to those expectations that, you know, maybe that are out there. And if they're a boom, that doesn't mean that they're the best player of all time. It just means that maybe they lived up to those expectations or exceeded them based on where we thought they would be before the season and then how they performed during the season. Anything you want to add, Chris?
No, it sounds good. I love breaking down way too early speculation about our rookie class.
It's the best way and the only way to really do it. I mean, this is why we are the experts at this, because we jump to conclusions, but we jump higher and farther than anyone else when it comes to those conclusions. So with that being said, we're going to go with Minkah Fitzpatrick, the first pick of the Miami Dolphins in 2018. He was a cornerback / safety, spent most of his time, I think, playing cornerback. For the most part, but he played in all 16 games, obviously out of Alabama. He started 11 of those games. He had two interceptions. He had, one of those was a pick six that he was able to bring back. He had 9 passes defensed. He had 80 tackles, 51 of which were solo. Off the top of your head here, Chris, boom or bust, Minkah Fitzpatrick?
Boom, A+. I mean, this guy is our future. He is the cornerstone of our defense for the next 10 years plus, I hope, if all things work out correctly. Brian Flores joining the team with a guy like Minkah Fitzpatrick, I mean, he probably salivates thinking of this guy and coaching and schemes and what he can do with him. He can blitz, he can defend the run, he can cover, he can play safety, he can play corner. He's just all things that you want for a first-round pick, and it feels very good, other than Laremy Tunsil, who's very solid in his own right. Minkah was just a home run. We knew it was going to happen. It started working out the way it did with a QB-heavy class that we were sitting pretty last year in the draft to get a really solid player, either a Derwin James, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and it worked out. Minkah is just – I mean, he literally single-handedly won us a couple of games with some big stops. I remember the Tennessee game very – vibrantly, which it was an 8-hour affair because of the lightning delays and things like that. He made tackle after tackle, solo on the field in a big stage as a rookie. Huge boom.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's safe to say that Minkah Fitzpatrick lived up to the hype that the Miami Dolphins had and the citizens had for him coming into this season. I mean, there were times where he absolutely stood out, and that's hard to do when you are the guy that everyone is looking at,
right,
and you still step up and do what you're supposed to do. I mean, I was super impressed with his open field tackling, especially early in the season. The guy's just a ball hawk. He knows what he's supposed to do, and he goes out and he does it. He is a bona fide leader already, I think, going into year two. He's going to be a guy that we start to rely on. I think you're going to start to see a scheme on defense with Minkah Fitzpatrick in mind. So I agree with you. I think he's a boom. I think he met expectations, which were pretty lofty. And I will give Adam Gase and his team credit last year for standing pat where they were and letting Minkah fall to them. I know he wanted a quarterback, and here we are looking for a quarterback in 2019. But getting Minkah Fitzpatrick was not a bad thing. It was a very good thing. And he is not only played at the level that we thought he could play at, but he helps shore up the defensive backfield, which has a lot of talent when you look at Xavier Howard and Rashad Jones and the likes. So he's just been a credit and an absolute boom as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and again, you add in Brian Flores, who comes from the Bill Belichick coaching tree. Minkah was coached by Nick Saban, comes from the same tree in college, and now you're going to take him, and you know you got a disciplined guy that's going to listen. He's a team first person. That's who Brian Flores just preached over and over again in his opening press conference, who he wants as a player, and Minkah is going to be that guy. He's literally the queen on the chessboard for this defense, and Brian Flores is going to use it to his advantage.
Yeah, well, moving into round two of the 2018 draft, we also moved on to the offensive side of the ball. Another guy that fell into our laps quite literally, and we were super excited to get, and that, of course, is Mike Gesicki, tight end, 23 years old. He played in all 16 games, started 7 of them, only had 22 receptions for 202 yards. That's about 9.2 yards per reception. Only 12 yards per game. He also had what? I believe he had a fumble, and his catch percentage was only 68.8%. He had 32 targets, only 22 receptions. Really was not good when it came to blocking. I mean, there were a couple of games, I think even in game two against the Jets, if I'm not mistaken, where he was just getting beat by children out there. I mean, I think the Jets players, kids dressed up in their peewee outfit, were able to get around him, shed that block, and sack Ryan Tannehill. So he was not drafted to be that blocking tight end. We all knew that was going to be a weakness. He was drafted to be that seam ripping, Rob Gronkowski type, if you will, that can go out there, catch the ball, and really just stretch the defense. What say you, Chris? Boom or bust, Mike Gesicki, round two, 2018 draft.
Yeah, I'm not going to call him a bust yet. I'm definitely not going to say he's a boom. I mean, it was a very mediocre season. We did talk, however, after he was drafted on the show, that rookie tight ends normally don't have good years. Like, it's just not – it doesn't translate quickly for that position, especially for what he wanted to do. A lot of that might be Adam Gase. A lot of that might be the protections that we had in place and the injuries that we had on our receivers, what we needed from him. The one thing that just stood out to me was that he just looked awkward when he did catch the ball. Like, I know he had these insane measurables of fast 40, avert, and his standing broad jump and things like that were all just off the charts. But when you see him on the field during the game, he looked like he was running in quicksand a little bit, to be honest. And he was kind of lanky and odd looking. I think it's just the game's going to slow down for him a little bit and things are going to get better. But he's a good guy to have. Would I go back and change it in the second round? Not necessarily. I'm not saying he's a bust yet, but hopefully, O'Shea, who we got from the Patriots, who obviously knows how to use a tight end with Rob Gronkowski and guys before him, hopefully we'll get the most out of this guy because he's got peak talent. We just got to see it on the field.
He's a bust, and he's a bust for, again, I'm talking this first season. He was picked 42nd overall. He was not the 42nd best rookie of this class. He wasn't even in the top 50. I would argue to say he wasn't even in the top 100. He's a bust. He had some problems holding on to the ball when he was on the field and caught the ball. He did look lanky and weird. He could not block to save his life, and I think the most significant thing that he had all season long was that Thursday night game against the Texans when he caught the ball for like 18 yards, and then he got hit and he spun, and I think he's still spinning like a dreidel. And that happened on national TV. I mean, the guy just did not play or perform anywhere where he should have, or at least where we thought he would. And you're right, we did talk about how tight ends typically don't have great rookie seasons, and we thought that it would take him some time to actually get, you know, used to the NFL and become a viable target later in the year. It didn't happen. And now not everything is in his control. Obviously, Ryan Tannehill going down did not help things. We had a lot of controversy throughout the season again. Those things affect rookies probably more so than veterans on many levels. But if you're talking boom or bust, Chris, I'm not going to pussyfoot around it. He was a bust for us in 2018. Now, again, does that mean I get rid of Mike Gesicki? I don't. I think he's got a lot of talent. Like you said, his peak is way up there. He's got to climb that mountain and go touch that peak. But at this point, he's nowhere near it. So I'm hoping that with the regime change and maybe some, I don't know if he's got to get bigger or if he's got to get smaller. I really don't know what he's got to do, but hopefully somebody who's paid money to tell him what to do can figure that out, and he can be that boom player going into his second season.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point. Obviously, I was talking a little bit more about longevity of his career, but when you go from a Minkah Fitzpatrick who's literally changing games from his play to the next pick that's quite irrelevant, Darren Smyth had bigger yards, I think, and some of the catches I've saw from him, and did more in O'Leary, Nick O'Leary, who was like literally just a free agent signing. So when you put all that into perspective, yeah, Gesicki was a huge bust when it comes to this season
right.
that just passed. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Well, and that's all we're talking about is this past season, boom or bust, whether they were good or not. And I think Mike Gesicki could have been much better. And I think if he was looking at himself in the mirror, he would probably say the same thing.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul. It's behind us. It doesn't mean we hate the guy. We like the guy. We want him to succeed. We want him to be a boom next year. So before anybody calls me and says, hey, what the hell are you doing trashing this team? That's where we're going with that. But speaking of rookies, out of round two into round three is where we got a guy named Jerome Baker.
My
outside man. Linebacker, number 9 pick of the third round, number 73 overall, played in all 16 games again. I mean, one of the things that you can say about this team, Mike Gesicki as well, they were healthy for the most part as rookies, but started 11 of those 16 games that he played in, had an interception for a touchdown. He had 3 passes defensed. He, I believe he actually had 3 sacks, 79 tackles, 57 solo, 22 assists, 4 that were tackles for loss. What are your thoughts on Jerome Baker, boom or bust, round 3 for the Miami Dolphins in 2018?
Huge boom. Huge yep. boom. I mean, this guy, just every time he was on the field, showed up and did something. Yeah, there was a couple lapses here or there. But for a rookie, 80 tackles, 3 sacks, pick 6. Like, if you told me those stats when we drafted him out of Ohio State and all the things that people said, he's undersized, he's not going to make it in the NFL, he just shit all over him. And the thing I like the most about this guy, and it was very recent, even yesterday I think it was, he tweeted, retweeted a picture that showed him as one of the top few rookie linebackers in the NFL. He was maybe top 3 or 4, and he said, not good enough. I need to get back to work. Mm. Like, that's the fucking guy I want on my defense. He expects better from him. He wasn't at the top of the list, and instead of saying, hey, I'm top 5, woohoo, yay me, pat on the back, he said, that's not good enough. I need to be better, and he's going to work. And you watch his videos on Twitter. He's working out already in the offseason. This guy was a huge boom. Those numbers are only going to get better from here. With his speed and athleticism, he's going to only get better from here. He's a huge boom.
No, I agree, and I think he's going to be an anchor point, if he isn't already, of the linebacking core going forward. I kind of said the same thing about Minkah as a defensive backfield. This is our guy. This is our guy for the linebackers until somebody comes and takes that crown away from him. It's not Kiko Alonso. It sure as hell isn't Raekwon McMillan. It's this guy, Jerome Baker. He is the playmaker, if you will. And, you know, he started a little slow. He was a little rough here and there. I think he flashed really, really early, and then he seemed to hit some sort of like freshman wall, rookie wall, and then he came back strong at the end of the year again. So
yeah.
I was very impressed with him. You know, I think he was better than the third round draft pick that we used on him. I mean, I think he was probably much more of a second or late first rounder. I think if you get that type of production out of somebody like that, then you would be pleased. I mean, shit, if we got half this production out of that freaking bust Sasquatch loving guy that we got a couple years ago, Charles Davis, or whatever the hell his name is, at defensive end, we'd be happy. So
Charles Davis.
Charles Harris.
I was like the CBS announcer. Like, yeah. What?
Well, he's a bust too. I don't like him. But he's a boom. Absolutely, 100%. We agree there. Moving into round four, the first of two picks in round four, pick number 23 of round four, number 123 overall. You alluded to him a little bit earlier, Mr. Durham Smythe, tight end out of Notre Dame. Now, a little bit of a different guy than Mike Gesicki in that Mike Gesicki was the offensive weapon. Durham Smythe was brought in to be much more of the blocking tight end, the guy that when you have your jumbo goal line is sitting there and basically acting as another offensive tackle. And yes, he can catch the ball if you absolutely need him to, but he wasn't ever going to be the number one target for Ryan Tannehill or anybody, quite frankly. So what are your thoughts on Durham Smythe, his rookie season with the Miami Dolphins at round four out of Notre Dame?
Considering where he was drafted, I'll say a boom, just because he did exactly what we thought he was going to do. He's going to block. He surprised some people with some catches, and really just he didn't do anything wrong. So I'm not going to say he's a bust, but he's definitely that guy, that Anthony Fasano type that's going to be there to, like you said, jumbo formation, or if we really need to set up a play action and he needs to stay in and block, he'll do it. But he'll also surprise some people. Especially with O'Shea, I think, with the Patriots always finding a new guy every week who's going to be the star to kind of like make sure the defense doesn't take him away. I could see him having a few good games, but as far as his rookie season, I'd say boom.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going boom or bust, I guess I'm going to lean a little bit more towards the boom. He did play in 15 games. He started two of them. He only had six receptions for 50 yards. I mean, the guy really didn't do that much. He had a long of 21. You know, there wasn't a lot, but that's not his role. You know, if you look at his role was to be that blocking tight end. He was like fifth on the depth chart, Chris. He wasn't supposed to get a lot of stats. He's kind of more of a, hey, you know, back end fill in and kind of stash him for a couple of years, let him develop and see if he's got some hands so you can use him down the road. So with regards to that, I'll call him a boom because he didn't, like you said, I don't remember him standing out for anything negative. And we knew what he was when we got him, which I think is the point of this. Is that we all kind of knew what Mike Gesicki was supposed to be his rookie year, and we kind of knew what Durham Smythe was supposed to be his rookie year. And unfortunately, Mike didn't seem to live up to that, at least not as far as I'm concerned, but I think Durham did. So I'm fine giving him to be a boom.
Given the options of boom or bust, yeah, boom has got to be the choice for him.
Yeah, now speaking of round four, we had two draft picks in round four of the 2018 draft here, Chris, and the second one being pick 31, number 131 overall, eight picks after Durham Smythe. This was Kalen Ballage, running back out of Arizona State. Now, I think everybody who follows us on Twitter knows that Kalen Ballage is a favorite of ours, right? We both love Kalen Ballage. I think he's an untapped talent here for the Miami Dolphins. I think he has a little bit of a brain fart here, there, and everywhere. But 12 games. He played in 12 games. He didn't start off his rookie season playing a lot, but he got into the lineup about a quarter of the way through. He had 36 rushes for 191 yards, which is good for 5.3 yards per average. He did have a touchdown on a long of 75 yards. He did get 9 receptions on 11 targets for 56 yards with a long of 31. So he did a little bit of running, did a little bit of catching. He came on late is probably the best way. But what say you, Chris? Boom or bust, Kalen Ballage?
I'm going to say boom just because of what he did when he got the opportunity. So Adam Gase, I feel, I don't know if it was the work ethic or what happened, what he wasn't getting in the game. Obviously, he's in a deep room with Kenyon Drake and Frank Gore, Hall of Famer, in front of you, and you're a rookie. But this guy can play. This guy can play football, man. Like, when he got on the field, we liked him, like you said, coming out of Arizona State. He's tall, he's big, he's fast, he's strong, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's absolute proof that running back is a dime a dozen. Like, these people don't want to spend money on Le'Veon Bell or want to do anything like that. No. I think the Steelers proved it with, Connor being the backup for the Steelers and the offensive line that he had. You know, think about what Drake and Ballage and Frank Gore did with our offensive line, patched together three backups, basically, with Sitton getting hurt and Kilgore getting hurt. Jesse Davis is out there running around as our starting guard. And these guys still put up some good numbers, and Kalen Ballage is no different. He was fantastic when he got the opportunities. He made blocks when he needed to. He caught the ball out of the backfield. He ran hard, ran fast. Is a late round pick, mid round pick. out of Arizona State in an already deep running back team, I would say, given the options, he was a boom. Kalen Ballage did well.
I agree. I think he's a boom. If you redraft the 2018 draft, he's not going at the end of round four. He's going well before then.
Absolutely right.
And in that regard, he is an absolute boom, especially late. I mean, what he does do is he gives you confidence that you have depth at the running back position beyond your starter, right? I mean, he's a guy that you go, okay, yeah, maybe he was fourth on the depth chart at the beginning of his rookie season. He's probably second on that depth chart now. He's going to have some plays that are designed for him. He's going to be a guy that the Miami Dolphins rely on going into the 2019 season. So for those reasons and more, I agree with you. He's a boom. He's got a lot of potential. He's nowhere near his ceiling at this point. But what he did do his rookie season was contribute in a positive way for the Miami Dolphins. And for that and other reasons, he is a boom in my book as well. All right, moving on to round six, which was the next pick after Kalen Ballage. This actually was a compensatory selection there, Chris. Pick number 35 of round six, number 209 overall, Cornell Armstrong, cornerback out of Southern Miss. Now, I remember when he actually was drafted, Chris, this was a little bit of a head-scratcher for you and I. It was the first time that somebody who wasn't a part of the Power Five divisions was drafted by the Miami Dolphins in the Adam Gase era. He played in 15 games, did not start any of them. I think he had 8 tackles. They're all solo. No assists, no tackles for loss. More of a special teams guy. He wasn't really doing much with regards to defense. Boom or bust, Cornell Armstrong.
Oh, this is where this game gets tough because you don't expect much from a six-round pick.
Yes.
A six-round pick out of SMU. Is that right? Or did you say Southern Memphis?
Oh, I already forgot. No, he yeah. Southern
I think
Miss.
Southern Miss. Okay, yeah, Southern Mississippi. I mean, there's not much you expect from this guy, but to do what he did, 15 games, play some special teams. There's times he played on our starting defense with injuries and things like that from Xavier Howard, and they mixed things up. Giving the circumstances, where he was drafted, what he actually did, I would say he's a boom. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, there's nothing I could say that he busted. He missed some plays and gave up some deep balls or things like that, but I feel like he was in position where he shouldn't have been this early in his career, drafted this late, but injuries forced him out there, and I just honestly think that he didn't do too bad, but I'm definitely not hoping to see him much on our defense next year, if that's any indication of how I feel.
Yeah, you're too nice, and I don't know why you're too nice. He's a bust. He's a bust. He didn't do what he was supposed to do, which wasn't supposed to be a lot. But even on those standards, yeah, I was kind of looking at him like, he does not need to be on the field right now. And if that's the feeling that I have, then I can't in good conscience call him a boom. Very little was expected of him, and very little was what we got, as far as I'm concerned. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that he is a guy that I want to get rid of on this team. It just means his rookie season was not as fruitful as maybe he would like, or the Miami Dolphins would like, or what I liked as a Dolph fan. So I'm going to go with bust with Cornell Armstrong. Again, with the caveat, he was never supposed to do much. So him being out there means we were probably hurting for talent. But he didn't really show me much when he was called on. And like you said, a lot of receivers were catching balls on him. So I'm going to go bust with Cornell Armstrong, round six, pick 35.
Well, Browns. And I got to say, more along the lines of, I know this isn't a rookie, but God, how bad did Cordea Tankersley fell off to where Armstrong's starting over him and he's active over him, and this guy's inactive, healthy scratch most of the year. I mean, he went from starting to out of the fucking woodwork on our roster, and I don't know if it's an Adam Gase thing, and maybe we'll get something more out of him with Brian Flores, but man, what talk about a drop-off right there.
Yeah, I mean, Tankersley was the biggest head scratcher that I could think of, because he was a guy who his rookie season I would have said was a boom. You know, if we're going back 2 years, I was like, hey, Cordae Tankersley, he's a boom. He's a guy that we want, and that we're going to rely on going forward. But he was not that guy in this past year, and who knows why that was. Oh, maybe he can turn it around, but. Man, you're right. He just was not the guy for us. And when you can't rely on your high round picks from the year before, then you start relying on your low round picks from this year in Cornell Armstrong, and you get the results that you got. So, all right, moving on from Cornell Armstrong. This got depressing really quick, Chris. We went from boom, boom, boom to all of a sudden Cordae Tankersley.
Welcome to being
Cornell
a Miami
Armstrong.
Dolphins fan.
My God. I mean, we can go back to talking about the hot tub here. Brown 7, pick number 9, number 227 overall. Your friend and mine, Quentin Poling, linebacker out of Ohio. Not Ohio State, but just regular old Ohio. Let me read off his stats here for you here, Chris. And what you are hearing are crickets, because Quentin Poling had zero stats for his rookie season because the poor bastard got hurt, you know, and that's, again, unfortunate, but no tackles, no sacks, no forced fumbles, no interceptions, no tackles for loss. Number 51 for the Miami Dolphins, seventh round pick out of Ohio, Quentin Poling. Boom or bust, Chris?
Bust. That's it. Move on.
It's not a look. We spent more time talking about Quentin Poling right now than Quentin Poling spent playing for the Miami Dolphins.
I like the guy.
Season.
He's a nice guy. We liked him on social media, but he did nothing. He's a complete total bust. So that's it.
We're sorry. Like, I feel bad for that one because I think he listens to the show. I'm like, sorry, Quentin, but yeah, you're busted out on this one. I'm sorry. So hope you come back and
come back and kill it, man. We'll be your biggest. We're your biggest fans. The game rules state that we have to name one, and boom, it was not, my friend.
Yeah, the only boom that happened was the explosion in your knee when you went down on injury, but that's about it. That's the only boom happening with that pick. All right, round 7, the last draft pick of the 2018 draft, and it's kind of funny the way these things bookmark out, man, because this poor bastard took more shit from you and I over the last training camp draft period. Pick number 11 out of round 7, number 229 overall, affectionately known as kicker number 1 by both Chris Cullen and Sam Marcoux. I think he's earned his name, Mr. Jason Sanders, kicker out of New Mexico. Won a grueling battle, and I mean that, against Greg Joseph in the training camp and preseason, and goes on to not only play in all 16 games for the Miami Dolphins, but kicks 18 out of 20, good for 90% accuracy, 35 out of 36 on his extra points, 97.2% accuracy. What are your thoughts on Jason Sanders, kicker number 1, boom or bust?
Sam, this goes beyond boom or bust. Jason Sanders, I owe you an apology.
Uh-oh.
You were fantastic. I never wavered in my thoughts or fears. If every time you came onto the field to kick a field goal, I knew it was gold. 90%. Your extra points were great. Your kickoffs were fantastic. Jason, I'm sorry. You deserve better than this. You deserve better than me and Sam doing the whole Dr. Seuss thing where you're kicker 1 or kicker 2. You deserve a name. You deserve to be your own man. And Cody Parkey gets some love around here. Yeah, he's a Jupiter juggernaut, and he's a big Dolphins fan. But Jason Sanders, you're the real man, and you're a great kicker. And you're a seventh-round pick. I'm going to tell you right fucking now, you're a boom with all capital letters, motherfucker. Jason Sanders, thank you for your service. We can't wait to see you be our kicker for the next 5 years plus. Jason Sanders, everybody. The name, the man, the myth, the legend. Seventh round pick. Boom, baby. Boom.
Call him Boom Boom Mancini because he is a boom on my end as well. Like you talked about, the Jupiter juggernaut of Cody Parker. Parkey, this is the New Mexico Marauder, because this guy, again, 90%. If you can have a kicker kick 90%, I know he only attempted 20 field goals, but that was the Miami Dolphins. I mean, that was our entire offense. He only had one from 50-plus yards, and he nailed it. Everything that was close range that was automatic, he nailed. 20 to 29 yards, 7 for 7. 30 from 39 yards, 3 of 3. 40 of 49, those are not gimmies. He went 7 of 9. So the guy knows what he's doing. He only missed the one extra point. We can handle that. We can take that. I agree, man, 100%. I was not sure if Jason Sanders or Greg Joseph should have been our kicker this year. One was a seventh-round draft pick. The other was an undrafted free agent. We went with the draft capital here and went Jason Sanders. And kudos to Darren Rizzi and everyone else involved with that decision, because Jason Sanders, I think, has solidified the kicking game for the Miami Dolphins, at least for the next couple of years. Jason Sanders, as Chris said, and as I'm about to say, and on behalf of all the citizens of Perfectville that ever made fun of kicker number 1, we're sorry. Big boom. Absolutely.
And Greg Joseph was fucking dog shit for the Browns, by the way. So Jason Sanders, again, God damn it. I'd take this guy out for a beer. I feel bad. We are pretty like, who's this guy? And he ended up being, put it this way, Brian Flores and the new ownership, Chris Greer, have his picture up in the team facility. They took down Ryan Tannehill. They took down other players that are off this team. But God damn it, Jason Sanders is on the fucking mural. He is on the wall. He is a Dolphin.
Yeah, he is. And you know what? Comparing him to Greg Joseph, Greg Joseph kicked 17 of 20 field goals, so 85%. Not bad, not bad, but he did miss one from 50-plus, and he missed two from 40 to 49. But here's the real kicker, pun intended. Extra points, Greg Joseph made 25 of them on 29 attempts. You can't have you can't miss four extra points when you've only had 29 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's like a three-inch putt. You can't miss that. It's ridiculous.
No, so this is where Jason Sanders, he's Mr. Consistent, right? He doesn't get a lot of opportunities, but he makes the most of those opportunities. So I agree. I think this is it's interesting how Micah Fitzpatrick lived up to all the hype as the number one overall pick for the Miami Dolphins in 2018. And Jason Sanders really just, for lack of a better term, outkicked the coverage as the last pick as Mr. Irrelevant for the Miami Dolphins draft of 2018. Both of those guys, I think, were probably the shining stars of the draft overall, Micah Fitzpatrick and Jason Sanders. So everything else in between, a little bit of a mixed bag as far as I'm concerned and Chris is concerned, but we bookended this thing. Micah Fitzpatrick, Jason Sanders, big-ass booms as far as I'm concerned.
Big-ass booms and Jerome Baker. I want to take them all to lunch. Those guys are going to be...
Why don't you take Jerome Baker and Micah Fitzpatrick to lunch, and I'm going to take the kicker, who's a little bit smaller, to lunch, because I think that would cost a lot of money to have to take Jerome Baker and Micah Fitzpatrick to lunch. But my sentiments exactly, though. I think all three of those guys, and you know what, if you can get three guys that are booms, just like flat out booms on their rookie season, that's not a bad draft. No, in my opinion.
And there's a lot of question marks and asterisks with the other guys too. Like Gesicki could absolutely be the guy we needed, as well as Poling and Armstrong. So we'll see. And Kalen Ballage too. He's hanging out
there.
And you know, he could be the guy that we let. You know, Frank Gore's not going to be playing forever, and Kenyon Drake is very much who he is. But him pairing him with Kalen Ballage for the future could be like our next big thing. So yeah, good draft by Chris Greer and Tannenbaum so far after one season.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give credit to Chris Greer. Mike Tannenbaum can eat my ass as far as I'm concerned. I don't think he had anything to do with this draft. All right, well, speaking of the draft, we do know that at some point the Miami Dolphins most likely will be using a draft pick on a quarterback, whether that's in the first round with Kyler Murray or somebody else, or later on as a project QB. But we also know that if that happens, they're going to have to pair that quarterback with a journeyman somewhere, something that people call a Band-Aid, if you will, because they're going to be on there and try to heal for just a little bit, and then eventually you're going to rip that Band-Aid off and just throw it away, which is what we're going to be doing with a veteran quarterback here for at least 2019, if not 2020 as well. So Chris and I got to thinking. We started talking about a couple of names that could be that Band-Aid. We've mentioned a few of them on the air. Now, one of the candidates, Joe Flacco, has actually been traded, so he's no longer a Band-Aid that the Miami Dolphins could have. But there's plenty of options out there. So Chris and I came up with a little game show that you, yes, you, the citizens of Perfectville, can play as well. And we call it Name That Band-Aid. And here's how it's going to work here, ladies and gentlemen. Chris Cullen is going to lead this discussion. He's going to pick somebody. He's talking about a Band-Aid quarterback that's out there. He's going to start giving off some stats, give off some, you know, type trivia information about this Band-Aid. And you at home, it's almost like Name That Tune. You're going to try to figure out who this quarterback is that he's talking about that could be a potential Band-Aid for the Miami Dolphins in 2019. Chris, are you ready?
I'm ready, sir.
I'm excited because I don't know who this is, so I'm going to be playing along with the citizens here. So why don't you help us name that Band-Aid.
All right, Sam, name that Band-Aid. I was born November 1992.
Ooh,
okay. I'm not old.
Not at all. No, that is a younger Band-Aid. That's still got some glue that will stick to the skin there. Okay, got it. All right.
I am over 6'2" in height.
So this is the anti-Kyler Murray crowd right here. He's 6'2" plus, and he's a younger quarterback at this point. This is what we know about the Band-Aid.
As of now, I've played for three teams.
Creed. I think I know who it is. I have a guess, but I'm gonna hang on right now. But I have a guess based on that piece of information. I think some citizens are probably jumping on board as well. Keep on going, Chris.
Well, my numbers are very much stoic, and you would call them average. There was a lot of hype behind me, and I did go to a Pro Bowl. However, an injury caused a very big distraction in the route of my career.
Interesting. So now I'm a little bit shaky on who I thought it was going to be. So we've got a guy who went to the Pro Bowl. We've got a guy who's played for three different teams at this point. He is a younger guy, and... what else do we know about?
Last thing I'll give you is I was a first round pick within the last 5 years.
Wow. Okay. So we have a first round pick. So this is a guy who at some point somebody thought was going to be a franchise quarterback, born in 1992, has played for three different teams, went to a Pro Bowl. And I am not sure that I know who it is anymore. So let me put this together now. So we've got a first round pick. We have in the last 5 years. We have born in 1992. He's played for three different teams. He went to a Pro Bowl. Anybody out there know? There's a few people yelling at their podcast
yes,
machines right now, and I'm probably going to be kicking myself. But I'm gonna bail on this and say I think you stumped me right out of the gate here. I don't know who this is.
Ooh, all right. So the guy that I think is a very good possibility to be the Miami Dolphins quarterback in 2019 is Miami Northwestern's own and Louisville's quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes, there you go. So he has played for the Minnesota Vikings. He was with the New Orleans Saints and the Jets?
New York Jets.
Yeah. So those are your three teams. He did go to a Pro Bowl. He was a first-round pick. That is a good one. I'm actually really mad at myself for not getting that because that was a guy that I think a lot of us had pegged maybe last year and maybe even this year on this podcast as maybe a potential Band-Aid for the Miami Dolphins. So well done. Teddy Bridgewater, what are your thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater? Would you like to see Teddy Bridgewater with the Miami Dolphins in 2019, Chris?
Yeah, I would. You know why? Because like you said, if we draft somebody, he's going to be that Band-Aid. That's what this whole thing is about. He comes home. He's from Miami. The Hurricane should have never let him leave. He goes to Louisville instead of, playing for his hometown team. He literally replaced Ja'Cory Harris at Miami Northwestern High School, where he should have also replaced Ja'Cory Harris at University of Miami. Instead, he goes to Louisville. Bad recruiting on their part. Great player. Minnesota thought he was the future before he had a just unfortunate, horrible knee injury that some people thought he would never come back from. There's even rumors of him having his leg amputated when it happened. And here he is back again. He's on the Saints, playing behind Drew Brees, playing with Sean Payton. Would I like to see him under center and maybe causing some trouble and playing quarterback for us? Absolutely, because he can make things happen. He's not that standalone, stone-foot quarterback in the pocket. It would be a second chance for him. It would either boom or it would bust, going back on what we were just doing with our rookies. And if it booms, great. If it busts, we get a top pick in the 2020 draft with every quarterback you can imagine, from Fromm to Tua. And then the next year with Lawrence from Clemson. I mean, like, there's no wrong answer here. Why not let him just go out there and see what he can do?
Career 64.6% completion percentage, 29 touchdowns over 23 interceptions. That's good for a career rating, QB rating of 85.9. Not bad. That is not a bad Band-Aid. And I believe he's also a free agent, so he doesn't cost you anything to get him to the Miami Dolphins other than money, which you're going to have to pay for any quarterback, regardless of whether you draft, trade, or pick up off the scrap heap. So I like the fact that the compensation is basically next to nothing other than money.
Right.
You can probably get him on a one-year deal. You have him come in and say, look, you are the default veteran QB Band-Aid. You will be here as long as we need you to be until a quarterback proves that they can rip off that Band-Aid and that scab is now, healed. So not a bad choice to throw in there. So far this year, the Band-Aids that you and I have talked about, we've got Teddy Bridgewater. We have Ryan Fitzpatrick. right? We talked about him on the last episode, him and Mika going out at halftime and doing a Fitzmagic show for everybody. We've talked a little bit about Boy Wonder up there out of Philadelphia, whose name is Nick Foles. But Nick Foles is going to need a lot of money, and he's going to want a guarantee of being a starter for probably many years, as much as you can make a guarantee for something like that. So we've talked about Nick Foles. We've talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick. We've talked about Teddy Bridgewater. Right now, those are the Band-Aids in our medicine cabinet right now that we are kicking around here at the Welcome to Perfectville Studios. Good one, Chris. I like that. That was fun. How'd that feel? Did you feel good?
Yeah, I like that a lot. He's a Miami guy. I like him. I like watching him play college ball. And I liked him in Minnesota. Like, he did some good things. And he has, like, 400 or 500 yards rushing, too. So, you know, he can do some things, make a defense think about it. And, he's a good first Band-Aid of the week, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Plus, I got a good friend who is a Minnesota Vikings fanatic, and he's an annoying fan that every time the Dolphins do anything wrong, he likes to rub it in my face. So if we could get Teddy Bridgewater to the Miami Dolphins and have him actually have some success, it'd be fun to go ahead and turn that around back on him. So Teddy Bridgewater,
nice.
That's a good one. That's a good entry into the Name That Band-Aid catalog there. So, well, Chris, we talked about the 2018 draft. We talked about my fun hot tub excursion. We talked about the Band-Aid of the week with Teddy Bridgewater. I think we both like that option for a short-term, you know, short-term Band-Aid, as you will. Anything else you want to talk about here before we get out of here?
That's it, buddy. Go Apollos.
Go Orlando Apollos, and all of you go home, because this is the end of your journey to Perfectville. And with nothing else to say, on behalf of Chris Cullen, Sam Marcoux, the entire Welcome to Perfectville podcast team as part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network, goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.